Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture.
I moved my freaking eye from the folding to see a digital clock. I rearranged the whole damn area, man. The whole life has changed.
Down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, here we are, live and in charge, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, here to talk about all your favorite auto subjects and all of that cool stuff. And I got to tell you, my co-host, Chris, you're with me, Chris. We are,
yes.
We're sponsored this week by one of our old sponsors, but one of our favorite sponsors.
Chico's Bail Bonds.
No, Chico hasn't come back with it yet. I think he needs to be bailed out of the Queen lockup. Okay. No, we are now sponsored by the SPCA.
The SPCA?
You remember that fine group, the SPCA?
Please refresh me.
The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Audiences. They are sponsoring us, and they said, we need you guys...
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That would be a success for them if they could yank us off the air. Just like pull us. Just pull us right off.
Get the hook.
In mid-sentence.
That's
this is Motormouth Radio.
Yeah.
And just get pulled off.
So if you want to commiserate with the SPCA, you can call us at 516-256-9510.
Write it down.
Don't forget to follow us on all of the social media platforms where we post our chicanery.
Oh, I thought you were going someplace else there, young man.
You know, on Fucking Bruta, Facebook, and on Twitter, and on the website, motormouthradio.com. Motormouth Radio is our handle. And on Instagram, which is Joe's favorite, it's real underscore Motormouth Radio. And you can see the news videos we've been putting up. Our web lackey has been doing some monkeying around and making some cute little video clips that people seem to love. And I like them, too. I know you do, Chris.
I'm totally digging it. The last couple were definitely yuck fests. And I suggest you go to the website and take a look at them. They're very cool.
Or you can go to those platforms. You can find them on Twitter. Will show you a link to Instagram. Or you can just go to Instagram or Facebook and find them on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Tell us what you think. Send us an email. Write us. Just reply back. Whatever you want to do, give us a call, and we'll talk about it. So.
Right, exactly. And that number, 516-256-9510, write it down.
Right.
Write it down on your favorite pad, your favorite piece of wood, your favorite piece of flint. Write it down.
Yeah, chisel it into a hunk of granite, if you will.
Yes, because that is our number this week. Because we never know what's happening next week.
So far, we've been hanging tough with that. You know, something I wanted to tell you about this was on my in the book a few weeks ago, and I never got to it, but it's worth talking about.
Right.
Honda John, one of my go-to guys, you know, good old Honda John.
Yes. One of the meeting of the minds. Yes.
He reached out to me a while ago and said, hey, there's a guy, a friend of a friend who bought a car.
Got a guy.
Right. And help with some metal work and some welding, and you think you could help him out and like direct him or whatever. And I said, okay, well, give me some information. Like, what kind of car? How old is it? What's going on? He goes, I think it's a 70s car. Well, it ends up, it's a 59 Olds Super 88.
That's some 70s car.
Or from a 70s car. And it's a four-door. You want to say, what is the definition of long?
Yeah, but what is the definition of why? Well, why? I hope there's like some sort of love for this car. I hope he has some, maybe it was his dad's, or there's some sort of traditional value to this, because that's really about all. If it's an 88 and it's a four-door, yeah, why? That's a bunch of parts sitting on the side of the curb, if you ask me personally.
You know, this is one occasion where we think alike, because that was one of my first thoughts. I said, okay, this guy has to love this car because it was in the family, grandfather's. And, right. You know, we went through a couple of texts and whatnot. Then I finally said, listen, I got to talk to this guy. Made a phone call and spoke to him. His name is Darren. And yeah. The car wasn't in the family. He had no particular. He always wanted a 50s cruiser.
Okay. Well, he got one.
And like all the 56 caddies were taken, you know, especially the convertible. So he couldn't afford to find anything, you know, because they're very expensive cars, the 50s.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That now it's making sense. Yeah. The car is definitely for the cruiser on a budget. Yes. And for there, it has a value. Agreed.
I went through that when I was buying my Challenger. Before I bought it, I had sold my Fiat, my first Fiat, and I needed something with a back seat, and I also wanted a 50s convertible. And you know, I talked to my buddy at the parts store who deals in old Chryslers, and he laughed along with me about, how much do you have? And I said, not that much, but, that's when I settled on the Challenger and history was made. But anyway, so Darren did the same thing. The story gets even weirder. He bought the car from a junkyard out in the Midwest. Maybe it was Arizona or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Sight unseen.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And he knew that was a gamble.
just a gamble?
Yeah. But right. He did it anyway. I don't know how much he paid for it, but then he paid to have it shipped out here to Long Island, right? Which, that had to be a decent piece of change.
Sure, from the Midwest to the island, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This car does not run and drive under its own power.
What a surprise.
In fact, the top half of the engine is missing. The heads and intake and carb are gone, you know.
Yeah, they're on someone else's old convertible, I'm sure.
And he had a lot of, it's got a lot of floor rust. It's got trunk rust. I'm like, wow, Midwest, you know, Western car with rust. That's a little odd.
Yeah.
So whatever.
What lake did they pull it out of?
I don't know. Lake Mead, I think. So in any event, now I'm sizing him up and his project up as we talk. And I realize, what a nut job. But
you came to that conclusion now at this point.
Right away. But trying to be serious about it. Now I had found out that I said, what do you need done to this car besides everything?
Yeah, I was going to say pretty much everything, right?
And he said he's had a few guys come over and do some welding on the floors. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you the obvious but stupid question: are there patch panels available for a 2-door 59 olds? And he said, no. I said, so we know they're not available for a 4-door. I said, okay, so guys have to make the sheet metal. I'm like, wait, you need a craftsman. You need a real fabricator.
You need someone that travels with an English wheel, pretty much.
Yeah, and an English accent. and an English scone. So he's had a few guys come through and do some work, and I guess none of them ever came back. Now,
really?
I'm picturing this, and of course the seats were totally sunbaked and the material was gone, so he yanked, obviously cleared the interior out.
Right.
So what he did is he hired a guy to come and change the gaskets on the front and rear windows, because it's got those like butyl gaskets because they were so bad water was leaking in when it rained. I'm like, sounds like a certain movie I know. Sounds like, you know, the stupid kid changing, look, he's putting windshield wipers on a car with a cracked windshield, right?
Right. And the diagnose, what was it? The what they came up with was you can't polish a
turd. Right. Sounds like Christine.
Exactly.
So now I'm getting a handle for his plan of attack on this car, which is so it's more scattered than you, than yours. It's like the guy is so all over the place.
That's pretty scattered. If he's more scattered than I am.
So I asked him about, okay, let's step back. What about the mechanicals? What do you got in terms of powertrain? And that's what he said. Well, the top of the motor is missing. Someone took the heads and intake. I said, okay, that's going to be tough. I said, but, you know, I happen to know a guy who's in the Oldsmobile Club here, you know, our friend Bob. And Bob speaks Oldsmobile very well. And there's always guys with older cars. Maybe we can find you some direction, some parts. Right. He says, no, I got it covered. I'm like, what do you mean you got it covered?
He's going to put a crate motor in there.
No. One of his buddies has talked him into putting in a 350 with a turbo 350 out of a Pontiac. And I now, yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
What?
I said to him, Darren, I happen to know firsthand that putting later model engines into 50s chassis are problematic because the 50s cars used mount systems that was later changed. In the 60s, it was changed. I said, so there's, again, fabrication needed to make the engine fit. Not that it can't fit, but it's not a – I mean, it'll drop in, but then it'll hit the floor. I mean, there's work. And then, you know, then the questioning went further, and I asked him, you know,
just to stop you for 1 second, does this guy know how to spin a wrench, or is he paying for everything that's being done to this car?
Well, that was my next question to him.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What do you do for a living? You know, and like, I want to find out how automotively adept he is. He's a musician. He teaches music. He plays music.
This is getting better.
I said, well, can you get a couple of violins?
And stop Can you tell him that the most expensive vehicle is the cheapest 50s car you can buy?
So I'll give him this. He has a lot of determination. He is.
You can call it that.
Yeah, he is determined. He said he's got two sons of driving age who really don't want to be involved with an old car. So he gave one son his BMW, and he wants to drive this thing. So I said, well, how many years are you putting on as a marker? So anyway, this I just wanted to say this came into my purview. Now, I haven't spoke to him in about a week. What happened is I did reach out to Bob. Bob says to me, Bob sends me back a Craigslist link to the 394 engine for a 59, it'll fit from out of like a 50, I don't know, 58 to 62 or whatever. There's a guy with a running engine and he has a transmission. And I sent this over to Darren and said, here you go. I said, what are you going to spend in the fabrication of that Pontiac engine? You could buy this one that runs and is going to bolt in.
Which is a beautiful thing. Yeah, sure.
And not that I don't think he's worried about it, but it will keep the car original. So,
yeah.
We left it at that. I don't know where he's going to go with that, so we're going to have to find out.
Wow. And that is kind of funny where you know that this thing that we do can go off the charts with guys like Darren because they have these dreams, and it's fine. And I know I'm talking to a guy who's got the same ones because I've always said to you, and you know this, if a car requires every square inch of it, if it requires your attention, every square inch of that vehicle, it's really, you really have to think long and hard unless it's like a Duesenberg or a classic Packard or something really, really rolling sculpture. Like a lot of those cars are just parts cars. And a lot of people that they see the dream, they see it done. Like my co-host, he sees the car done. And I always talk about your Nomad. That's one of my favorite, you know, whipping cars, because I look at it and go, every square inch of this thing needs your attention, and it needs your attention for a long period of time.
That's correct.
It's an ashtray. It's always been an ashtray. It's got to the point where I wanted you to do the car just so I can do a pinstripe of an ashtray on the tailgate.
Yeah. You know, well, that's the thing. And I'll tell you this. That, and you're right, you're 100% right about that. I never denied that. Even working on my Pontiac, which is now close to done.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm at the phase where you're still spending money on stuff.
Yes.
now a part that was good enough before isn't good enough anymore because you compare it to the rest of the work, and it just, you know, it consumes you, you know.
Yeah. You up that bar. Your bar was way down here back in 1976. Now it's up here somewhere
because
the car is getting finished. So that part that you've been tolerating that worked really well while the car was in prime, now you look at it and go, wait a minute, the car's all finished. The interior's done. The car is painted. The car is shiny. The car's got good chrome on it. That part is now, it's like second rate.
Yeah.
So that's going on eBay, but meanwhile, it was still a working, operating, perfect part for the car, but now you have to find the better part for the car.
So right.
It turns into this. That's why this is the reason why, first of all, you touched a nerve. This is the reason why I can't drive a show car. I can't own a show car. I can't. My cars are going to be 10-foot drivers, 20-foot concourse vehicles. Those are going to be my cars. My Chrysler is a perfect rendition of what my wheelhouse is, where I stand on this, in this automotive sport hobby, whatever we discuss. It is a perfect car, because here I am talking to a friend of mine in South Carolina. We're discussing putting the door panels from a car that's been sitting in a yard with the convertible top blown out for the last 20 years. The door panels and the rear panels, I'm getting shipped here so I can recondition them. Now, mind you, they look like crap.
Right.
But, and he's even telling me, you really want these things? And I'm like, yes, just send them to me.
Let me ask you, what's the difference in those panels and the ones in your car now?
Well, the ones in my car now are Newport panels. Now, here's where Chrysler gets a little tricky, right?
So I'm 300 panels.
Right. He's got the 300 panels, but I need the 300 panels. Now, this is something that you can – I'm speaking your language here. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
They are the panels – the front door panels are fine because I can use them off the coupes. But the rear panels are convertible panels. They're a little bit wider to allow for the top mechanism. So if they're a little bit wider, that means the rear seat has to be a little bit narrower, score shorter. So I need the rear panels. I need the rear seat.
Right.
And those are the ones that are money. Well, at least the ones that are scarce, I should say, because Chrysler, in their inevitable wit and wisdom, only produced about 1,100 of these cars. I think
Oh, you have the Newport seat in the rear too. They never changed it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
The guy probably couldn't find the 300 seat.
Well, that's it, because they're impossible to find. So he's like, I don't care about the condition of it. I'll get it recovered.
I know, and this is one in Pembroke.
Yeah, I know. I would definitely go get a hook.
Yes, a couple times a week.
Go drag that thing home. But yeah. this is what I talk about, and I had mentioned this for the last 20 years. This was a realization that came to me last year. For the last 20 years of my life, when I had the TR6, it was fairly easy to restore and maintain that vehicle because you had Moss Motors. You had catalogs. You pick up a catalog, go, I need a fuel pump. Pick up a catalog, call the guy. Huh?
You get spoiled.
Spoiled, huge, really spoiled. Well, now, once that car is done and I've moved on to something that is insurmountably more difficult. I can hear my father chuckling right now because he used to tell me, stay away from those Chryslers. Getting the soft stuff for those cars is impossible. And here I am, doofus head, going to get myself an old Chrysler. And mind you, I got to change the whole interior on a car.
Well, but you know what, Chris? But you said it right from the start. The thing is, it doesn't stop you from driving the car. You can still drive it, take it out, and enjoy it. So now it's all a matter of when... if and when you want to change those parts, you don't have to. So you're correct. In a good spot, you know.
Yeah, it's called a rolling restoration, and it's almost next to impossible to do. You've tried to do it for years.
Well, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing with my Pontiac. And
yeah.
I mean, I've been into this now for like, what, 4-5 years? But you know,
I was going to say 30 years.
I've owned it for 43 years. I owned it in the 70s. But no, since I really took it apart and started to rebuild it.
Has it been that long? No, I thought it was longer than that because
about 5 years.
Because what was there? I'm trying to think of the time where we just made fun of you because the car never saw it. Used to talk about
that
it.
That was earlier than that. Well, we were doing the show, obviously.
Together. We were doing the show.
And then I took it to the garage and showed it to you, right?
Yeah, I said, Ray's GTO doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because it had been, again, it had been on the road, but not being, it was in a garage, storage garage, not being driven, because it needed, it, at that point, it needed everything. And I knew, I just, it really needed everything. And it wasn't, it was bordering on, all right, do I really want to drive this car like this? No, I don't. It needed right. a lot of work. So
did you ever decide, like, then at that moment that you maybe could have sold it?
Oh, that, I, listen, I could have always sold that car, and I could have always found buyers easily because it's a popular car.
Sure.
But I didn't want to. I mean, it's, you know, it's part of the family. I wanted to keep, you know.
That never, so, that thought never crossed your mind.
No, never, never, never. Wow. But like I said, even when I took it apart, did all the dirty work, and then it was a period of time, it was probably about 2 years, you know, having the engine rebuilt, the rear end rebuilt, buying that, the new transmission, and then putting the suspension in, rebuilding the mechanicals.
Sure.
And that's when you first saw it at the station, because I started driving it with nothing else done. The body went into the shop and came back in prime with dents in it still, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, now it's a rolling restoration. Yes. All the mechanicals are done underneath, and I can tweak those, but the body isn't done. And only until just this year, just a few months ago, did the body get finished and painted. So, and I like it that way, because I enjoyed using the car. Now I'm going to be afraid. Every time I open the garage door,
right, it's gonna have like three car covers on it and covered in like cement block.
Yeah, right. But anyway, that's the difference. But still, my car is also not a show car. Yes, could it enter a local show? Absolutely. Might it even take an award? Possibly. But it wasn't built as a show car, so it wasn't built to slide mirrors under it. It's black under there, you know. It's made for utility.
Yeah. But, well, the car also had a what would you say, a hard first owner.
I think I'm the second owner of the car. And you know, back in the day, I drove it every day. It was my everyday winter, spring, summer, and fall snow car. You know, I put snow tires on it in the winter and drove it.
Yeah.
I pulled away from a party once, a bit aggressive, coming off the clutch, and slid the thing sideways right into a foam pole because there was, it snowed while we were in a party drinking. You know? Okay, so there's a quarter pound dent. I'll have to take care of that in 40 years. We did. But anyway,
it's kind of funny how that used to be your daily driver, and I can totally identify with that. I drove a 68 Buick in 8-degree weather to drive it to school. It was a convertible, and you think the heat worked well? No, not really.
Well, I'll tell you something. I have my Fiat that I've been using now regularly, and I took it to work yesterday morning, and it was chilly yesterday morning.
Yeah, believe it.
You know, but I threw the top down because it was sunny and beautiful. I'm like, ah, and I was wearing shorts. So I had it. I actually talked about you to someone. I'm going to, in the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about why I was talking about you and your Triumph.
Oh,
but all I did was I flipped my vents. I opened the air control and I put it from cold to heat. And that just lets the hot air come in on the floor. I don't even use the fan. And the cabin just fills with warm air. So I felt comfy going to work. You know, something you couldn't do in your Triumph.
No, certainly not. Unless you went, that was about it. That was all you could do to get heat out of that car.
But I will say, you know, maybe we'll take a little bit of an earlier break and we'll come back with more. Because I want to talk about this other car story that came my way. But I want to remind people that you're listening to Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino on Motormouth Radio. And you can call us at 516-256-9510. Chris, do we have the content to support the video that just went up about the honor group of the hour?
Of course we do, Ray. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week. Do you have sun visors that can't stay up? Let me tell you, are your sun visors flopping down and you can't get them to just stay where they are? You can't put your sunglasses up there because they fall out? I don't know. When you see them droop, do you always just go, oh? Well, if you have a problem with your sun visors and even turning that adjustment screw doesn't work, or the paper clips or the clothespins don't work, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Keep those sun visors up, young men and ladies, because that's what you need to do. Because if they're flopping, You're part of our crew this week. There you go.
What can you use? Like, is there like super vinyl restore to keep those sun visors up? Like, what restores them? I don't know, because I have a droopy one in one of my cars, and I don't know what to give it.
Let me tell you, it has been a bane of my existence with a lot of my vehicles. And the funny thing is that with the Chrysler that I have, if you put the top down, you always got to move the sun visors down. And I can't keep the sun visor on the passenger side. The little rubber grommet, I can't keep it into the wedge above the rearview mirror. For some reason, I can't. I sprayed it with WD-40, and I've tried massaging that little tip thing. It keeps popping out.
I'm like, well, the WD-40 is going to lubricate it and make it pop out. I would use glue. Well, wrong stuff.
I want it because, you know, it's funny because it slides in, but it doesn't fit all the way in all the way. Something's grabbing. Very weird. It's a very, very weird rubber thing. And I kind of am a little embarrassed to talking about it right about
those you could probably buy from a restoration place because it's probably the same across the board for all Chrysler mirrors, right?
You're probably right. You're probably right. I could probably find one of those little tips. Little Steely Dan looking tips. Probably.
All right. So that's it. We're going to take our break and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. And I'll tell Chris a story about two little small cars that came into my orbit this week. And keep it where you got it on 90.3. WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College. Also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
We're back, Motor Mouth Radio, and as of course our luck would have it, we got messaged by one of our favorites, Mr. Pirate Paul, who knows cars and knows Chryslers. Maybe that's what it is. Chrissy says you need to get a script from the auto parts store for Visor Agra.
Paul is brilliant. That's just brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the truth. I mean, because, you know, a lot of GM cars, too, especially my 59 Cadillac, I could not keep the visors up on the car. They would always flop down. Yeah, and of course, you just do it methodically. You just slap the visor back up, thinking that some God-given talent's going to happen just with that slapping it back up, that it's going to repair itself.
Right.
But it never does. It always comes back down again. And you go, oh. But anyway.
Right. So you can get in on this at 516-256-9510. I'll tell you about another guy. Our good buddy Mike at the shop had a fellow come in to have some work done on a car of his. And Mike contacted me and says, hey, this guy has a Fiat Spider.
And
and it needed some rust repair done, some hard work. I don't know why he bought this car. Right. So Mike asked if he could put the guy in touch with me for stuff. I said, yeah. So I'm speaking with Colin, who has a very original and heavy English accent.
Okay.
So it was, it can almost be a little difficult on the phone to kind of make sense of, you know, accents that you're not 100% used to, even though it's, yeah, we're not talking a crazy one. Anyway, he needs a lot of stuff on his car, and I couldn't help him with any of the body parts. I told him I did strip that one Fiat and have a lot of small stuff. Mm-hmm. So he needed an interior door handle. And I said, you know, I may have one in the bins of junk that I have. So we spoke for a while, went back and forth, and a couple of weeks went by. I finally found the door handle, sent him a picture, and he came over the other day to pick it up. And he showed up in his cherry red MGB.
Ooh.
Which is, I was like, whoa, this car, wire wheels, knockoffs, you know?
Impressive.
Yeah, I got a stereo system and all. And he likes, and Colin is, he's probably 6'1", 6'2". But he fits in the MG.
I was going to say he folds himself up pretty well to get in there, huh?
Yeah. Okay. And we were comparing notes about the Fiat and the MG, and because he hasn't driven his yet, it's in the body shop, and then which brought up thoughts of your Triumph.
Oh,
and because he was comparing the MG to the Fiat, so I conveyed to him how you had compared your TR6 to the Fiat,
right?
And he actually got in my car. He goes, I said, yeah, get in. He says, wow. He goes, this, the Fiat's roomier than the MG. I'm like, wow.
Okay. Yes, it is.
You know, but his is, it's not a midget. It's a regular MGB.
Right.
So I thought they were very comparable in size, actually. But, you know, I don't know. I think those MGs always had narrow, they always have narrow footwells, even if it's an MG. Right. I know the.
Here's the shot for our video people. There's the TR6 and there's your Fiat.
Right, the Spider and the TR6.
Now, there are video people.
I mean, I can see, and I know the TR6 is obviously a narrower car.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe a little longer, but not by much.
Yeah, you know? Probably. Yeah, not anything that would be apparent. No, right. Maybe by inches. But I did notice it when I got your Fiat was, even though it was, what, your Fiat's 79?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's 5 years newer than my TR6, it was better appointed. You had nicer seats. It had a nicer dash. Everything was better built, I think, in the Fiat than it was in the TR6.
Fine Italian technology.
Yes. That's what you want to call it.
Everybody in the world who doesn't even know what a Fiat is will tell you Fiat stands for Fix It Again, Tony. You know,
right?
That's a great acronym. But no, I always said one of the ones I loved was Futile Italian Attempt at Technology, which actually is not true because, like Colin and I spoke, those cars are built pretty damn good. They're it's a small car, so it's. Right. And it's got issues. They all have issues. I mean, it's not perfect by far, but it's not as bad as some of the other ones, I'll tell you that. So
I had to work on an MGB this week.
Did you?
Yeah. My cousin showed up with it. It's black. It's got around 19,000 original miles on it. And his brake lights went out. So we were trying to go.
See that.
Why? Well, we were trying to go through the motions, and the only thing we came upon the conclusion that he just needed alligator clips. So I just gave him the alligator clips with the wires. That just I said to him, "It's like go, do what you have to do." He said, "This is going to take more work than I expected," and he left with it.
Colin had driven, I'd say, let's see, would it be three, four towns to get to my house, and we were talking about, and I noticed that he had big driving lights on the front, on the front bumper.
Right.
I said, how's the electrical system in this car? And he goes, oh, it's great. It's banging, mate. Great. Yeah, good. I said, okay, good. I said, because you got these driving lights. That's a big load. He goes, yeah, but I don't have brake lights. I said, you drove here knowing you don't have brake lights?
Oh, my gosh. Which
led me to point out to him how I'm so concerned in the last number of years that I am not, I said, people don't see these cars. I said, have you been next to like a Tahoe or an Expedition? He goes, yeah. I said, you're looking at the middle of the door.
Yeah.
I said, I realized a couple of years ago there was a guy behind me in a big SUV, like a Tahoe, and I put my directional on to turn right. And I knew he couldn't see the directional or the brake lights because he was so far above them.
Right.
And I said I was actually fearful that this guy was just going to plow over me, which led me to mount a high-mounted third brake light, LED brake light, on the back of the car, and I angled it up. Because anybody at my level, I'm not worried about.
Right. You want that guy in the Tahoe to drop his phone when he sees your brake lights come on.
Wow, that's a good idea. So again, we talked about theories and all about how to, you know, safety, how to stay alive in these cars, you know, because people aren't seeing them. But yeah, he didn't have brake lights and he doesn't know why. So,
well, yeah, if you look at where the brake switch is, it's under the hood because the brake box is next to where, like, the I guess you could say it's contained where the master cylinder and all the brake paraphernalia is all in there. And behind the brake box, where you pretty much can't see, is the brake switch. So we were trying to figure out if the switch was getting power. Like, we were going through the motions. And literally, we got to that point. Pat was like, all right, I'm done with this. He says, I'm going to drive it back home. He's only like a minute up the road, so it really didn't matter if he had brake lights or not.
Well, let me ask you this. The switch being by the master cylinder, is it a, you know, hydraulically actuate, it switch goes into the brake fluid line that actuates by pressure?
No, it was actuated by the foot pedal itself.
Okay, like, so it's like switches we know that's an electromechanical switch.
Yes, if you push down on it, the plunger comes out, just like the TR6. But the TR6 was mounted under the dash.
Yes.
So we got like halfway through it, and I was going to keep going. He kind of gave up. He was like, I'll figure this out later.
Test light. You need a test light. You want to see if you have power to one side and if it goes to the other when the switch is closed. You
know? Right.
But, it's normally closed switch.
But going through the fuses, we went through all four of them.
Right.
You know, that sort of did the preliminaries first. But it's kind of funny driving when you see one of those cars on the road, when you see like your Fiat or you see an MG or a Triumph. I always, and I think it's because we own them or have owned them in the past, I always keep an eye on that car.
Yeah.
Just to keep an eye on. You watch the wheels, you watch the lights, you watch these things because you need to keep those owners informed. You need to look under the car, make sure nothing is leaking, nothing is hanging down, and because you got to tell them.
No brake caliper bolts bouncing off your car.
Right, exactly.
Like that, I mean,
no headlight trim ring flying into your car. You know, there's those things. So you always have to like keep an eye on those guys whenever possible.
True. We did discuss stuff like that, and I did, once the hood was open, I looked, and it was a very well-appointed, I mean, the engine was just painted color. He wanted to get a different valve cover for it, but it was very nice, neat and clean, and, you know, well done. I mean, the car is well done. And I looked and said, "Err." He goes, "What do you mean, err?" I said, "You're riding with the Prince of Darkness." I said, "That's err." He goes, "Well," I said, "it's a Lucas alternator, buddy." And you're telling me you have enough power to power these big honking driving lights? I said, "Where's the jar of smoke?" Because we know that anybody with a Lucas electric system has a spare jar of smoke for when the smoke escapes from the wiring system, you know.
Gotta pour the smoke back in.
Right? Yeah. And he got a big charger. You know, that's why I love Englishmen, because they do have a great sense of humor. It is that dry, that Monty Python wit. And man, when you can when you tickle one of their funny bones, they will laugh and you can have a great time, another pint, you know, and it's like
another pint of the warm stuff.
Oh, yes. God.
Yeah. Yeah, with the alternator I had in the TR6, I knew it was going bad because I would turn on the headlights, and I drove the car rarely in the dark, but I had halogen headlights in it. And I turned the headlights on, and it would get the alternator to purr.
the sizzle.
Yeah, you turn the parking lights on, it would go, and then you turn the headlights on, it would go. I'm like, time to change that.
Well,
it's
got to
go.
We've talked about this many times, and I did this in my car, in all my cars. That's when you put in headlight relays.
Yeah, because that you have right there in front of you, which is amazing.
The relay takes all the it takes a small signal and switches a heavy load. And I did I should make a post of this on social media one day, because I did take photos of it. I measured the voltage drop at the light without the relays in, and then I measured it with the relays in, and it just took the voltage drop away. And now I put a volt gauge in the car. I would have 12.5, 13 volts, you know, at idle. I would throw the parking lights on, and you see the needle just dip half a volt, a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I put the headlights on, it would go 11. It was dropping like 2+ volts. And it ended up being more than that when I measured it at the light. And I said, oh yeah, I gotta put relays in this car. And it worked wonders, really does. So
I lucked out. I just hung the set of halogens in the TR6, and it held tough. There was I didn't feel any heat on the wires. Like, I did it very physical installation, more or less.
Yeah.
And they were fine. They were fine. But mind you, I didn't have any driving lights or any, you know, there was nothing.
Yeah. No.
There was nothing to tax.
Well, the halogens are a big load. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of people are.
Do you want to go to the phones real fast?
Yeah, we do. We're getting a call.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
It is a load of fun. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob.
Robert, how are you, sir?
We're doing good, guys. I had a question on that relay. So is the relay for the headlights, was that to diminish the amount coming from the charging? Or if you had a short, the relay would trip and you would prevent a longer length wire burnout?
No, listen, leave our friends out of this. All the burnouts, they're over here in the corner. We leave them alone, because if you poke them too hard, they start throwing stuff at you. So
they let their smoke out.
They are now, I think. No, Bob, the relay isn't a fuse. It's a switching device, and it's an electronic switch. And what it does, it takes a small signal, which is actually you turning the headlights or whatever the device is on, and it has power and ground. And what that signal activates a coil, which closes internal to now turn on the bigger device, which is the lights or the whatever. So
okay,
all of the work is done at the relay, and the lights can now get a full 12 volts in the case of a car, and not have a voltage drop as long as the wiring is done correctly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why all new cars, I mean, since the 70s, well, 70s cars don't have headlight relays, but started with relays for certain components. And then in the 80s, of course, and now, of course, you have banks of relays in the cars. It's
sure.
And they're really, once you understand them, they're not hard to install or diagnose. They're, you know, it's not a bad deal. But so that's it. You have an issue that you'd be looking for? Do you think a relay may solve?
No, I was just curious about, you know, you had spoke about the headlamps. I'm putting a headlamp in the Saab. They had to wait a week for it.
Really?
And, you know, it's funny too, because when you have the HIDs or the adjustable headlamps, that actually the lens itself travels the curvature of the road, if you will.
Yeah,
that's different from a separate standard headlight bulb, if you will.
Yes.
So I was just curious about the relay.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, they're
and
great devices.
Lastly, sorry.
I said they're fantastic devices, and they really made it's a way to, like, with in case of my Fiat, a car that has a good, but everything has, there's a margin, there's a limit to everything. You know, it marginal electrical systems, you don't tax it as heavy as you would if you didn't use them. And you could do some crazy, you could do some funny things too, like in my Pontiac and in Mike's car, you can actually switch the ground side of the relay. And what I do is I usually use that as my ignition kill switch. I just have a switch under the dash or hidden somewhere that just opens the ground path to the relay. And as we know, no ground, it ain't going to work.
Right.
So
you're not going to start it. Right. I got it.
You know, if you switch a positive wire, there's always a chance of getting arcing or heat buildup. Not if you switch your ground. So you can just, you do that on a relay. And I know Chassis John is doing that down on the Camaro he's working on now in Florida. The horn system on this Camaro, they switch the ground. But that's how a horn works anyway. You do switch ground with the button. So, yeah, you can do a lot of cool things with them. So,
well, you guys are a wealth of information, and I was hoping that TomTom would call today.
Well, we'll see. There's time.
There is time, and I was
hope.
Holding out almost the last 10 minutes of the show. So, TomTom, yeah. Call.
Thanks for that, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you soon.
Great program, as usual. Bye, guys.
Thanks, bye-bye. Bob. All righty. That's good old Bob from Rockville Center. I love hearing from him.
516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us if you'd like to. The phone line is open.
Yeah, the relay is an amazing thing. It really is.
I totally understand. I totally get it. You know, I got to talk to you about auto parts stores for a second here.
Okay.
You know, there's an auto parts store by me. It's one of the few local ones that we have left, and I had to make a call to them. Oh, wait. Do you want to? Speaking of calls, do you want to take this? Let's
yes,
take it,
sir.
Let's go to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Tom. I just wanted to tell Bob it's okay to pop a cold one.
You just did, Tom. Thank you. We're all going to pop one.
All right. I've been listening, you know, from the corner like a fly on the wall, but Bob had to provoke me. So yes. I appreciate a shout out, and hopefully we'll see you guys soon.
Yes, look forward to that, Tom. We miss you. We miss all you guys.
All right, all right, be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye. Chris, well, I got to tell you something. We both collectively listened to a lot of different radio shows through the years, and
yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard a caller of a radio show evoked the name of another caller, and then that caller calls. I don't know if anybody else has, if that's happened anywhere but here.
That is definitely a tall order. And mind you, when the other one calls, when the connection is made, everybody has a cold one. So,
right.
So anyway, now here's what I'm talking about auto parts stores for a yeah. second. I've there's this one place by me. Now, mind you, I know I must be used to auto parts stores in New York, in the New York area.
You are.
You're gonna find a certain amount of gruffness, I guess you could say, in a local store. Not a lot, but usually you do in at first sight until you get to know them and then they get to know you. They warm up, but they got a tough run. They got a tough life. And oh wait. And speaking of tough, we're going to go back to the phones.
Yeah.
Talk to someone tougher than us and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, hi. This is Mike. I'm in Queens. I got a question about the sun visor problem.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
There's a lot of videos on YouTube about solutions to dropping sun visors.
Right.
With electrical tape or Velcro or zip ties. They're all temporary solutions.
Right.
If somebody comes up with a permanent solution, how much would you be willing to pay for it?
Well, first you have to get a patent on that one, I think. And I mean, because there's nothing we're going to do about it. We don't, you know, I don't really care, truthfully, but Chris might because his is drooping. I think if you can come up with a permanent solution that's viable and works, you will be able to make some money with that in the aftermarket.
Sure. See, a lot of times we kind of just pose the problem and what would you say?
We have the problem.
And we have the problem, and adventurous people and entrepreneurs like you will call and we'll bat some ideas back and forth. That's the whole premise of this program, Mike.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Which reminds me, of course, that our buddies at the UD, Dougie and Johnny, they're always listening, and Billy G is always listening. Billy's been stopping in on Thursday nights and playing in traffic, so we've been here. Open the door.
Let's see who comes in. Back to the phones, back to the fun. The show is now phone on fire. Say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
This is Billy G.
Billy Velvet! How are you, Almighty?
Okay, so this is a quick call. The solution to the sagging sun visor, and I accomplished it a couple of years ago, was, you know, the plastic mollies you put in the wall?
Yeah.
You know, you, you know, you drill through a plaster wall, you put the blue plastic molly in or the red one,
sure,
depending on the size of the screw.
Yeah.
Okay, so you put the molly in into the side of the sun visor, and then you put the arm back through it, and that creates enough friction to keep it in place.
Oh, so you use the molly, use that as the bushing, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, that happens is that from pulling the visor up and down, they have a tendency to, of course, like everything else that gets constant movement, you wear it out.
Sure.
So the thing is, you got to create a new sleeve, so to speak. And you don't need much of a sleeve.
Right.
So you just put the plastic molly in the corner. It fits right in. And you put the rod, you know how it has that chrome rod that goes in a little bit?
Right.
The end of the visor up, the material up, that solves the problem.
Right.
Okay.
So to keep it from floppy, you use the molly.
Well, and the other thing to know is a lot of times on the other side of the visor where the arm comes in, there's usually a screw that you can tighten that clamps onto the rod,
yeah,
and that really does adjust the tightness of the flop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the other, yeah. But sometimes you're crushing material. You just keep crushing the same material.
Right.
So you got to put something with a little bit of substance behind it, so the plastic molly will absorb the pressure. It's like a compression fitting in plumbing, you know?
Yeah.
You don't crush them completely, but you crush them enough that you don't get the leak stuff.
You're right. I've had visors, right, especially older ones, Bill, where you get on that screw and you ain't tightening it anymore. It's bottomed, you know? And I think it's just because the material, everything is just worn out. Kind of like radio hosts.
Yeah. Just remember, when I call in, I don't bring much to the table, but let me bring a snibbling of crumb today, okay?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Bill, you always bring it to the table.
Thanks,
you,
Bill.
All right, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. Always good to hear from Billy Velvet.
Yeah.
516-256-9510. There's still a little bit of time while I try and get through my story.
Well, back to Buffy's Auto Parts store.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing, because I had to make a phone call to my local auto parts store because I needed a part for the Chrysler. And I thought maybe by chance I'd be able to go. Maybe the store will have it. I'll go pick it up. So I get online to get their phone number, and I notice that they have some reviews. I'm on like some sort of Yelp site, and I had a laugh because I'm looking at these reviews, and one of them says, don't waste your time. The place is the worst I've seen. I've seen a lot. The other review is unenthusiastic staff. And I'm like, What are these? Sometimes I come from the land of Thurston Howell III around here. You know, a lot of people like to talk this way and go, oh, hi, Muffy and Buffy. You know, it's known for having those type of people. But we're talking about an auto parts store here. These people, what?
Let me, is this an independent store or a chain?
Yeah, it's an independent store.
Okay.
So I'm like, wait a minute, you know, like, this is auto parts. I don't want them to be friendly. I don't want to go out and get a drink with these guys. I don't want them taking me to the zoo. It's an auto parts store.
Let's remember, you went to an auto parts store that had dirt and peanut shells on the floor and liked it.
Let me tell you, there is, I'll mention their name.
Go ahead.
I'll mention Coney Island Auto Parts, the only auto parts store where you could be in there and get ignored, and an accident happens outside. Yeah, right. Accident happens, and a car almost crashes into the door, and no one picks their head up from the phone.
Right.
You're standing there almost, you're getting hit by a projectile.
Right.
As a customer, and no one cares. Or you could be in that store, and all of a sudden, about 150 struts out of boxes will come flying down the stairs, all in this chaotic crash, and nobody makes a move.
That's, you know, one less customer.
Everybody's on the phone going, speak louder, there's something going on.
Yeah. Hold on, there's too much noise.
Right,
over there.
Exactly.
And you said, hey, it's like being at home.
So any other auto parts store, I think guys like us have the patience of a saint. If you have to walk into an auto parts store and get like some guy going, hold on, that's fine. That's the prerequisite. You
know, it's just auto parts in New York. And I'll go one better. When you get up to that counter, Man, it's just like a plumbing or electrical supply store. If you don't know what you want and you can't express it clearly, you are toast.
I'll bet. Yeah.
I need this thing that goes on the thing that looks like it's blue. Get out of here next.
Exactly.
Because we both worked in auto parts too, so we
totally
know.
You know this, right? You know this. So that's why I love walking in with the part and going,
well, what I'm gonna do actually this week, I've been asked, I have to work on a rabbit. I diagnosed it, I looked at it yesterday. And I have to now put a blower motor resistor in it, but I'm going to go to the shop to take the resistor out so that Mike can bring it and, like, you know, double check it with the, you know, with the parts guy before I have to put it back in. Like, you know, we need, because Volkswagen has like 9,000 listings. So,
yeah, exactly. And any part like that, you better, once you pull it out of the box, you better test it because it may not be working.
Electrical part, no returns on electrical parts. Yeah. So listen, you know, I just had the thought before we got our barrage of phone calls, which I love. I love the phone calls.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, sitting here talking to you, which I love to do, and I've missed it dearly for years.
Yes, same here.
You know, it's kind of like we could be doing a podcast, and people have thrown that out to me, and I want to put it out to the group. What would you think if we did a podcast, which we're thinking of, would you tune in? Would you listen to that podcast? And you know, what would you like us to talk about? So if people want to give us some feedback on that, they can do it either by calling the show or write to us at motormouthradio@ncc.edu or on any of the social media platforms. Drop a message or, you know, DM us or whatever. We'll, you know, if you don't know how to get in touch with someone these days when they have all their stuff out in the world, we don't want to talk to you because even we know how to do it. And, you know, and our kids show us. So,
right. My kids show me too. I mean, I think we bring up the technological caboose of technology. Basically, if we're doing it, everybody can do it. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. If you and I can put our noodle together and figure something out technologically as far as computers and anything that involves communication, I think anybody else can do it as well. So. Well,
and for now, we are going to sign off. We're going to get out of here. Let Kim come in, do Thunder Road, Best of Spring, Sooner, all that stuff. We'll be back next week with more of this stuff. So, Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home, but you can follow us to the auto parts store.
Right. And see how we deal with these guys. So, for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, out of here. We'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. We will see you then.
See you, bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.